I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening, and can I join once again with Mr. Park in thanking you for coming to the meetings, and we pray that God will bless us even in the closing nights of this gospel campaign. We're opening our Bibles in the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the chapter 24. 24th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And I trust that you'll turn, or that you'll follow the reading of the Scriptures, or he that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto your heart tonight. Acts chapter 24, commencing to read at the verse number 22. Let's follow the word of God. And when Felix heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them, and said, when Lysias the chief captain shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul, and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. When 2 years, or after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. We end our reading there, and we know that God Himself will add His blessing to the reading of His precious and His holy word for His name's sake. Amen. When you come to the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the preacher's desire that men and women will be saved. It's the cry of our hearts that men and women and young people in the district where the evangelist comes to minister God's truth will be swept into the kingdom of God and not reject the blessed working of the Spirit of God in their hearts. You know, the truth is this, my friend, not everyone who comes to listen, not everyone will be saved. I think that's an awful tragedy, but it's reality. There are men and women that go from the house of God, friend, and they turn their back on the Word of God and upon the calling and the pleading of the Spirit of God, and they go on in their sin. Not everyone will be saved. It is true, my friend, to notice that even when the Apostle Paul was preaching, there was a man, the Bible says, his name was Gallio, and it says concerning the message that he was faced with, it says Gallio cared for none of those things. And friend, to be honest, there's a great tragedy across our land tonight, that there is a great spiritual dearth and deadness in our land, because there's so many of the people of this province of ours. And friend, they do not care for these things. They seem to just travel on as if life will never come to an end. And if it did, well, sure, what about it? Because of no thought about their soul whatsoever. And as far as they're concerned, they have no time because they don't want to believe. Then, of course, there are religious people come to meetings. And to be quite honest, many of those religious people really feel that they don't need to believe. They really feel that they're good enough. They feel that the religious exercises and rituals that they go through are sufficient to get them into heaven. They say, well, you know, I do believe there is a God. I believe. But my friend, they do not believe to the saving of their soul. They have a head knowledge, but they know nothing of a heart experience. And they too sadly will die in their sin, and where Christ is, there will never be. All they say, preacher, go and talk to the drunkard about that saving business. Why, don't you see that they are the ones that need it? and go and talk to the person that's down in the gutter. My, surely that's the place where you need to go instead of wasting your time coming to a religious meeting in Ballymoney like this tonight. Surely we religious people, we're good enough. And friend, the sad reality is this, they see not their need. And if you see not your need of God's salvation, you will never be saved. And if you will not be saved, friend, you'll never be in heaven. And as sure as there's a God in heaven, the only other place is hell. And so we find that men and women come, and even some go from the house of the holy, and they die in their sin without Christ. Some say they don't want to believe. Others say, well, they don't need to believe. Then there are other people, and maybe it's you tonight, you know you need to be saved. And in reality, if I was to ask you personally the question, if I was to put my hand upon your shoulder and say, my friend, tell me, do you realize that you're a sinner? You say, sure, I know it. Everybody should know that they're a sinner. You realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to seek and to save that which was lost, and you say to me, preacher, sure enough, I know that. For my, it's one of the most attested facts of history that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world. And He died upon a cross. And there He shed His precious blood. Yes, I know that. Tell me, do you know you need to be saved? Sure, I know I need to be saved. I couldn't get into heaven the way I am. I dare not try to meet God the way I am. And then I asked you another question. I said, tell me, well, are you saved? And the answer is, no, I'm not. And they say, well, tell me this, why are you not saved? Well, I intend to be saved someday. But just not now. Friend, I believe with all my heart there are multitudes of men and women sitting in gospel meetings and gospel missions like this. And they intend to be saved. And they put off their soul salvation, believing that some other day, some other time, before they step into God's eternity, that God will give them the opportunity to get right with Him. And they procrastinate. They postpone. Yes, they plan someday to get right with God, but just not now. And I want to tell you, that person's in great danger tonight. Because you know the truth. You know what God says in His precious word. You know that if you die in your sin where Christ is, you will never be. And yet, my friend, you plan, you intend to get saved someday. Natural fact, you want to get saved someday. But somehow, it's not today. Somehow, it's not the time. I've got to wait until I get things sorted out. I've got to wait until things or circumstances are better. And everything gets into place and then I'll come to God. Let me tell you, friend, who are you playing with? Who are you playing with? You're treating God Almighty that, God, you just stick around for me. And whenever I think I'll need you, whenever I'm just ready to come to you, Lord, you just stick around. I want you to be there. And I want you to give me plenty of days to get this preparation made, because God, it's not now. I'm too young. I'm too busy. So many things, so many excuses that the devil puts into the minds, into the hearts of men and women. And sad to say, multitudes have died in sin, planning someday to get right with God, friend. But they're in hell tonight because they never got saved. And there's men and women sitting in this meeting tonight, friend, and that's the position you're in. Be honest before God. The story that we read tonight in Acts of the Apostles, in the chapter 24, friend, is the story of a man, the mighty Apostle Paul, and he was there down in Herod's palace in Caesarea. And you know, in that palace, the walls of that palace have witnessed many cruel scenes, many bloody scenes, because in actual fact it was here that Herod passed sentence on two of his own sons. when he sentenced them to death. And many of God's children were brutalized here. And many of believers were heard cry here. And when their cries were going up, the enemies of the gospel sought to silence them. But there's something different this day. It's a faithful man of God who's standing forth proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the man he stands before is a man called Felix. Now Felix, be honest, humanly speaking, he's regarded as a success story. Felix was a man who was born a slave. He was later freed, and then eventually he worked his way up until he became governor of Judea. And one day he's faced with this man, the Apostle Paul. And accusations have been made against God's servant of being a troublemaker and preaching that which he ought not to preach and bringing trouble in the land. And so we find that Felix, he wants to hear Paul. And I want us to think tonight, very simply, about Felix, the man who heard a message from God and even trembled. And then he said this in verse number 25. He said, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." In other words, when I'm ready. When I think I'm ready, then I'll call for thee. I'll call on God. I know you're right, Paul. I know you're right. Notice what it says there in verse number 22. Felix heard these things having more perfect knowledge of that way. He knew the truth. Here was a man that had knowledge of the truth, my friend. And whenever Paul finished, he says, "I know you're right, Paul, but I'm not going to do it now. I'm not going to settle this now. I'll do it in a convenient season. When I have a convenient season," friend, and the devil has trapped him. The devil has him in the trap because he says, "When I have a convenient season, then I'll call for thee." I want us to notice, my friend, that Paul preached it. Look at verse 25. It says, "And as Paul reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come," he was a man of the 3 points of his message. And he said, "I want to talk to you. I want to reason with you," because I believe that Paul was a man with a burden for souls. We looked into the face of Felix. Let me tell you, Felix was a man that Paul could have begged his release from. But he realized that wasn't the important thing. He was preaching for the soul of Felix the governor. Friend, tonight let me tell you this. I'm not preaching tonight for the applaudits of man or people to say what a preacher he is. I care not what you think of me. But I do want to preach concerning your soul and your eternal destiny and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And Paul, the Bible says, he reasoned of righteousness and of judgment and of temperance and of judgment to come. Notice the message that convicted. That's the first thought. He reasoned of righteousness. Now, what we only hear tonight is the sermon headings. He reasoned of righteousness. Now, when he reasoned, that means that he dealt with a subject. It says that he reasoned not only of righteousness, he reasoned of temperance, and therefore he dealt with a subject, and then he spoke of judgment to come. And once again, he reasoned with this man, Felix, concerning these 3 things. And I believe what he said to him, let me tell you, was very plain. I could hear someone say, "Now listen, Paul, be very careful. Remember, here's a man that could set you free. You be careful what you say. Don't annoy Felix. Because, you know, let me tell you, he can sentence you to death. And so therefore be very courteous and flatter him a little." I want to tell you this, my friend. Paul wasn't concerned. He was preaching for Felix's soul. And here's a message that convicted him. It was a message of righteousness. And I believe with all my heart that as Paul stood before this man and he reasoned with him, he said, Felix, you think you're a good person. You think that you're all right. You think that your standards are all right. Let me tell you something. Here's the standards of God. And he said, there's your standards, Felix, and there's God's. And the Bible says he reasoned with him. And I see him there as he openly brings before this man, Felix, this ungodly man, he exposes the unrighteousness of Felix's heart. And he declares the absolute righteousness of a holy God, what God demanded. And friend, before God in this meeting tonight, let me tell you what God says concerning your righteousness. God says in Isaiah chapter 64 verse 6, and he said the same thing about me and Mr. Park and Mr. Stewart and any other preacher here, friend, we're no better than anybody else. Make no mistake about that. God said this about us all. He said, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags in my sight. And what God is showing to us and what God was showing to Felix that day was this. Felix, there's your standards. But when you measure it to God's standards, you've all sinned and come short. You've fallen short of the glory of God. I heard the story some time ago about two young fellows. They were at school together and they decided as they were leaving school what they would be. And they said they wanted to become two soldiers. And at that time, you had to have a certain height to be able to join the army. And there was one lad, you had to be 6 foot, and one lad, he was 5 foot 11 and a half, and the other boy, he was 5 foot 3. And of course, they talked together, and one said to the other, well, what are you going to do when you leave school? He said, I'm going to join the army. Well, the other boy said, so was I. But he said, let me tell you, there's no use you join. You're 5 foot 3, you're only a wee toot. You'll never get in. He says, I want to tell you, I'm going to join the army. So the day came and they both signed their forms and they were called for their interviews and went through certain tests and then they were brought in. And the first thing the big inspector said to me, he said, would you stand against the wall there to measure him? The boy, he was a 5 foot 11 and a half and he was trying to get up, you know, just that wee bit more just to get to 6 foot. The big inspector said, just keep your heel in the ground, son. And he looked at it and finally measured him. He was 5 foot 11 and a half. He said, thank you very much indeed. You can go now. He's walking out through the door and the other boy was sitting waiting. And in the waiting room he says, well, how did you get on? He says, I think it's all right. He said, well, I'm joining too. So he walked in. Finally, after all the tests were done, they put him against the wall. They measured him, 5 foot 3. He said, thank you very much indeed, sir. They both got the letters to say they couldn't join, they were too short. And one lad began to protest and he said, but listen, I'm only a half inch out. He said, I can understand you because you're 9 inches out, but I'm only a half inch out. Let me tell you, friend, they both were out. And some of you are measuring yourself by the lives of others. And maybe you think that you measure nicely against the lives of others. You say, well, I'm just as good as he is. Now, he professes to be a Christian, but my life's as good as his. And you're measuring your life against the standards of man, friend. And God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, some of you think you're only a half inch out. But friend, you're out. You don't meet the standards of God. Absolute holiness. There is not a man, there is not a woman, there is not a boy, there is not a girl in the service tonight can meet the standard of God. We need the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. Or reckoned to us. And thank God at the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in our guilty room instead. And thank God we were gloriously, those who trusted in Christ, were gloriously and wonderfully saved. And my sins were reckoned to Him, but praise God, His righteousness was reckoned to me. And that's why I'm going to heaven, friend, not because of any good that I have done, either before the night I trusted Christ or the nights after it. I'm getting to heaven all because of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross.
and the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, just as if you never had sinned, friend. Thank God you're put into Christ. And the righteousness of Christ is reckoned to my account, and thank God I stand complete and I stand justified in Him. You know, Paul said, you know, Felix, there's your standards, Felix. And here's God's. I want to tell you, dear men and women in this meeting, whenever you stand before God, you'll not be measured by the standards of other men. You're measured by the standard of God. And when you stand before God, it'll not matter what other men say. And not matter what other people think about you. The Word of God says this: all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And God sees you not dressed up in the robes of riches tonight. God sees you in the rags of ruin. In your sin. And the only way to come is to come as you are to Christ and thank God, receive the righteousness which is by faith alone in Christ alone. And he preached on him righteousness. Then secondly, he preached on him temperance. And the word there is self-control. And let me tell you, Felix's life, friend, was out of control. You know, Felix was a man who lived for passion. There's a woman sitting beside Felix that day, and her name was Drusilla. She was married at the age of 14. And then sometime later, Felix got his eye upon her. She was another man's wife. And Felix took her from her rightful husband and entered into a life of sin and adultery with her. And she was sitting there beside him in his sin. And Paul started to reason about self-control. He started to reason about temperance. And here was a man whose life was lived in the passions of the flesh. He was living in immorality and sin. Oh, Paul's closing in on the governor now. He says, Felix, not only talk to you about righteousness, and you're a sinner by nature. He says, I'm going to talk to you about temperance. You're a sinner by practice. And I know men and women say, yes, well, we're all born in sin. And therefore, by nature, we are sinners. Friend, let me tell you this. We're not only sinners by nature, we are sinners by practice. All have sinned. And this day you have sinned, friend. Yesterday you sinned, the day before it, from the day of your birth, friend. We have all sinned grievously against God. And he said, I want to talk to you about temperance, self-control. And Felix is beginning to shake now because he's coming close to the bone. For Felix is living in an unholy relationship with a woman he stole from her husband. He's living a life of adultery, immorality, and sin. I'll tell you something else about Felix. If you look on down the passage of God's Word, it tells us in verse number 26, it says, he hoped also that money should be given him of Paul that he might loose him. His life was out of control. He was willing to take bribes. And he thought that Paul would love his life more than anything else. And therefore he would pay for his release. Or some of his friends would pay for his release. And it says, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. His message was a message about his sin. And then he said this. He says, I have a third point, Felix. I want to talk to you about judgment. I want to talk to you about judgment to come. Because you see, Felix, I'm the one that's standing in the dock here. And friend, I can see the Apostle Paul as he comes into that scene, and the chains are shackled upon him, and he shuffles along with the chains as he comes into the presence, and that old stone floor. And you can hear the rattle of the chains. And Paul's standing there before Felix, and he says, Felix, you're looking at me today, and I'm the prisoner, and you're the judge. But listen to me carefully. He said, Paul reasoned with him of judgment to come. It hadn't come yet. It was still to come. Friend, I say this before you. Listen, how many times you've heard the gospel preached, and you've heard of solemn messages, and you've heard of people being cut off in their sin, and you are still here tonight. And some of you believe that while somebody else is cut off in a moment of time, while somebody else is killed in an accident, while somebody else has been taken away, you'll still be here when the mission's over. You have still a life to live, friend. Let me tell you, God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You see, the judgment hasn't come for you yet. And Paul says, Felix, listen to me carefully. Here's God's standard. And here's your life. And God's going to bring you to the judgment someday. You'll stand at the judgment throne of God. And for the first time, this is what it says in the Bible, Felix trembled. Oh, it's very easily, friend, to be carried away. The devil, my, can delude you and think that you're the end. I remember I was holding a mission in Macclesfield. And there's a young fellow we were holding in a big tent. And I can remember night after night, God was speaking and God was moving. A young fellow was brought up in a Christian home. Lovely young fellow came up. He didn't belong to my congregation, but I knew his mom and his dad very well. And his mother, his dad's people belonged to me. But his dad or his mom didn't belong. But this lad came into the meetings. And remember, he got a crowd round him one night after the meeting was over. He gathered round the door and he started to talk. And boys, I tell you this, he was bold. Oh, he was brazen. He was going to tell God a few things. Remember one night just after that, I'd watched him and I'd noticed him, for he was being the big fella. And you know, the rest of the mates around him, they were laughing. He was making a fool of these other young Christians. So one night he came into the meeting, and he was going out through the door, and I just put my hand, just as he was going out through the door, I just put my hand across the door and I says, I'm not calling by name because there's people here who know exactly who I'm talking about. I said, friend, I want to talk to you now. And I looked into that young fellow's eye and I said to him, son, let me tell you, I watched you the other night, and boy, you were the center of attraction. You were the big fella. And you're mocking God and the things of God. So I want to tell you, son, I know you have a godly mother and father, and their hearts are breaking over you. I know that there's never been a night that they've ever put their head in the pillow, but they've bowed their knee to God and they've cried to God for the salvation of your soul. And I say something I want to tell you is, you are the big fella in front of all your mates. But you see, when you meet God, son, your mates will not be with you. You'll stand alone. And I saw that big fella, let me tell you, and he thought he was smart. And I tell you, he wasn't laughing now. And he wasn't the big fella now. He was just like a child. I said, son, I want to tell you something. Don't you mock God, for God's too big for you. Don't you ever take God on, for I'll tell you, one swipe from God himself will put you in the blood of your back and take you out into God's eternity.
don't you mock God? And I'll tell you, he walked out that night. And that lad wasn't bold anymore. And I said, son, you know, it's only me that's talking to you. What if it had been God pulled you out? And you are brought before him. Friend, I asked you this question. What if God's pulling you out tonight? What if God says to you, as he said to the man in the scripture, this night? Now, that's somebody else. Not at all, then. It's not somebody else. Young man in Cookstown, 51 years of age, his wife came home the other morning from work, and he's lying behind the bathroom door. Out in God's eternity. Never got saying goodbye. Gone. Natural fact, when that lad was growing up, his father was 47 years of age, and he dropped in the bathroom too. Out in God's eternity. And Paul said, Felix, you remember this, there's a judgment to come. And when he heard that, friend, the Bible says, Felix trembled. Dr. Bob Jones, the late Dr. Bob Jones Sr., said of a young soldier that was preparing for the American Civil War. And they were sitting with his mates around the fireside and they were laughing and all the rest of it. But this night, it was on the verge of a great battle. And this young lad was sitting around the fireside, and as he sat around the fireside, somehow he wasn't laughing with the rest of them. And one of his mates looked over at him and he said to him, "Hey, bud, what's wrong with you, bud? Are you thinking about the battle?" And he laughed and he said, "Bud, are you afraid to die?" The young soldier boy turned to his mate and he said, "No. I'm not afraid to die. It's not death that I'm afraid of. But it's what's beyond death that frightens me. It's appointed unto men once to die, friend, and after this, the judgment." And he begins to tremble. You say to me, "Preacher, what did he do?" You see, not only do we have the message that convicted him, we have the mischief that confronted him. Because no sooner did he think about what has been said that the old devil came in. And the three forces of hell came in, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the worldly thoughts came in. And he thought about himself, and he thought about his position, and he thought about his prominence, and he thought about his popularity, and he thought about the praise. And if he was to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have to humble himself and admit that he was a sinner. He thought about his position in the world. Is that what's keeping you from Christ tonight? The world? The plaudits of the world, the praise of the world, the friends of the world, is that what's keeping you from Jesus Christ, friend? They may laugh you into hell, but I'll tell you this, before God, they'll never laugh you out of it. The flesh. Ah, yes, he looks at Drusilla. And now when he looks at it, he remembers his life. He can see the bride. He can see and think about the bribes. And boys, if he was to get right with God, he would have to get things right. I want to tell you this, my friend. God never asks you to give up anything that's good for you. For the Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. But if there's things in your life that, friend, are sins in your life, then you need to get right with God. You need to get them right. You can't hold on to your sin in that hand and hold on to Christ in the other hand. You cannot serve God and mammon. In the flesh, he looks at Drusilla and he realizes, my sin. I'll have to be done with my sin. And friend, for another little while to spend with Drusilla, he was willing to go to hell. Damn his soul for all eternity. And then the old devil comes and he whispers, Felix, you're trembling. You're emotional. Now's not the time to come when you're emotional. My, you need to get settled down. Think this thing through. You've got to get things settled in your mind. Come on. Come on. Felix, go listen to Paul. You've got plenty of time. Boy, that was the stroke of the devil, friend. Convenient time. Oh, yes. My time. My time. People have said to me, preacher, I don't want to make a profession. I don't want to receive Christ because I feel I couldn't keep it. And what are you talking about? What are you keeping? Now unto him that is able to keep you. You look to Christ because you cannot save yourself. You look to Christ because of you're totally sinful. And of yourself, you will never be able to keep yourself. Your dependence is completely and totally on Christ. As I said last night, believe on, rest alone on the finished work of Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. Thank God he'll save you. And the devil says to him, not tonight, Felix. You're too worked up, Felix. You're trembling, Felix. You're too emotional, Felix. Just tell him another. And that's exactly what he said, friend. He said, go thy way, verse 25, for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. Very quickly, friend, let us look at the last thought, the matter that condemned him. Yes, Felix trembled. He did. But Felix only trembled. That's as far as he went. I'll say something else. Only Felix trembled. Notice, Drusilla didn't tremble. Nobody else trembled. See, friend, let me tell you, see, when God visits, he visits the individual. You and God alone. And I believe that God is speaking to hearts tonight. I believe that God is challenging hearts tonight. And Felix said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Let me tell you, my friend, let's get this true. There never came the convenient time. You can search the scriptures. Felix never could see it. He never got right with God. In actual fact, the history books tell us that down in Italy, looking into clear water, a clear lake, he saw his reflections. And as he saw the reflection of himself, he got a reflection of the life he had lived. And Felix plunged into the lake, committed suicide, and went to hell. What about the night that he trembled? See, the devil said, tell him another day. And that night, let me tell you, my friend, Felix made the biggest mistake that he could ever make. For he believed that tomorrow, another day, would be a better time. He promised him a convenient season. And that's what many have done in gospel meetings. I'll come tomorrow night. Dr. Wilbur Chapman was a faithful servant of the Lord, a winner of souls, and won many souls for Christ. But one day he was asked to go to visit a man in hospital. A man that was unsaved. And folks asked him to go and speak to him about his soul. Wilbur Chaplin went to the hospital. When he went to the hospital, a nurse was there and asked him who he was wanting to see. And he told him exactly who he was to see. And the nurse said to him, says, "Dr. Chapman, this man's very nervous today. And if you were to start talking to him about his soul, you could push him over the edge." He said, "You know, Dr. Chapman, what you should do, you should go in and just spend a couple of minutes with him. Just a few moments. And gain his confidence. And then come back the next night. Or tomorrow." Dr. Chapman says, "I did it. I went in and I spoke to the lad just a few minutes and then I left and said, I'll see you tomorrow." He said he came back in the next day, and as he was walking in through the door into the ward where the man was, the nurse met him again and she says to him, "Oh, Dr. Chapman, if you're looking for the man that you were in speaking to yesterday, he's not here." Dr. Chapman said, "Tell me why, where is he?" He said, "He died 5 minutes after you left yesterday." Dr. Chapman said, "I didn't get talking to him, I didn't get telling him, because I said, tomorrow's a more convenient season." Men and women, God says in his precious word, today, if you hear his voice. He didn't say tomorrow. He said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why today? Because God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I believe that Felix thought not only he would have another day, a convenient season, but I believe that he thought his trembling would continue another day. He presumed that the Spirit of God would still be there. You know what God says? My Spirit shall not always strive with man. You read the book of Romans chapter 1 where it says God gave them up. God handed them over to their sin and the judgment that was due for it. And I'm finished tonight. Can I ask you a question? What's your answer to the Lord? Go your way tonight, Lord. Go away. I'll come back tomorrow night. See, there's a Friday night in the mission. See, there's a Sunday afternoon in the mission when I have a convenient season. I was preaching in the County Down. I preached a gospel mission. There was a wee man that used to stand at the door of our council offices in Macrofelt and had the joy of seeing him won for Christ. I was down in his district where some of his family lived, and he said, "My sister, I believe, is going to your mission, Mr. McRae." He said, "Would you talk to her?" It was the final Sunday afternoon. I was standing at the door. I was shaking hands at the door in the final service. And the wee woman came along and I stopped her and I said, "You know, I was talking to your brother." And she says, "That's good. How is he?" And we talked for a few moments. I said, "I'll tell you, your brother's very concerned about your soul. Your need of Christ." And then she said these words. She said, "Mr. McRae, I believe you're having a mission. And you mentioned town. In a few months' time, I'll see you there. And have a convenient season." Is that where you're dealing with your soul tonight? Friend, it never came. You see, this was God's day. This was the opportunity. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart.